Live from the 2016 Australian Open, the Weekend Break on 3AW 693.
Beautiful day for it too, as Didi's not here with me today on the Weekend Break. Bridget Duclos, however, is deputising for Didi.
I am deputising.
Having a lovely day. What about meeting a legend like Neil Fraser here? But you have actually met before. Neil Fraser, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon.
And welcome.
Hello,
great
Neil.
To see you, Neil.
Or Mr.
Nice
Fraser,
to be here.
As I used to call you.
What a beautiful position you've got here, and overlooking all this great day of this crowd.
It's pretty terrific,
Open.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the Australian Open really become one of the great events, Neil, haven't we?
Well, all the players keep saying it's the best Grand Slam of the four.
Do they really?
Yes, and, you know, not all of them probably... certain percentage of those would say that at every Grand Slam they go to.
Yeah.
But I think that facts prove that it is the most popular and... it is the best because so close to the city, it's got, you know, I don't have to tell you or your listeners how good we are.
But it's better in January too than it used to be before Christmas, didn't it?
Yes.
The old days.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's the first one, which obviously they all want to get a good start to the year, I guess.
Yes, although you continue to see the odd player is not fit enough or not ready for it and withdraw or certain injuries come about. That's the tournaments leading up to the Open, but once the real stuff starts with the Grand Slams, they're all ready to give it 100%.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen a men's swimmer, Mark Edmondson, in 1976, and of course, you were runner-up in 57, 59 and 60, Neil, in Australia. Yeah. Won Wimbledon 1960, US Open 59 and 60, not a bad sort of an effort. There was one or two decent Australian players going around in those days, Neil, wasn't there?
There sure was. Yes, I'm... My one regret is that I didn't win an Australian title, but I did have match point on Labor, 1960 in the final at Queensland, and lost at 8-6 in the fifth. So,
but would you rather win Wimbledon or the Australian? If you had to choose, Wimbledon's got to be the one.
You're quite right.
Yeah.
But Labor won so many titles everywhere, he could have given me that one.
He could have slipped it your way, couldn't he, Neil?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been too hard, would it?
No, it wouldn't have been. As we were such great mates, but anyhow.
But growing up, as I was about 5 or 6 years old in 1959, there seemed to be a fantastic camaraderie among the Australian players. They're all the best in the world, but a wonderful group of mates.
Yeah. Well, our toughest competitor on the world circuit was your fellow Australian.
Yes.
Laver, Emerson.
Emerson and...
Anderson, Cooper, and then going back, Howden, Rosewall.
And why isn't it like that now, do you think, Neil?
Ooh. Everyone's playing.
No, I know. With due respect to our players, Australia, especially in the women, hasn't really reached the heights we would like for a long time. Do you have an opinion on that?
There's many. Yes, I have an opinion. We were a big fish in a small pond in those days. South American players were unheard of.
Yeah.
Eastern European players were unheard of. And Europe was still recovering from the Second World War.
You get the odds. Spaniard coming through, and
Frenchmen and Englishmen and that, and Americans were the strongest, of course.
Yep.
So we were a very big fish in a small pond. Now the pond is just it's an ocean.
A lake.
Yeah.
An ocean. Yeah.
And our population is still relatively small compared to the rest of the world. But the competition for the athlete in Australia is so much greater now.
Yeah.
I didn't have too many choices when I was at school with all sports. Maybe there was a sport in the summertime or two sports, cricket and swimming, football in the middle, maybe some tennis and something out. Now, my grandson at St. Kevin's, I think there's something like 30-odd sports
they get a fantastic choice.
Yeah.
Good thing you're sending your grandson to grandson's going to St. Kevin's. That's where you were captain of tennis around about 1950. Would that be right, Neil?
That's about it, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and what was the APS competition like then?
St. Kevin's were not in the APS.
They didn't make it until about the early 60s, did they?
Yeah, until they kicked me out.
That's right. They got rid of you and things looked up.
Neil, tell me, Neil and I have got history. We do need to discuss this.
Go on.
Yeah.
Now, Neil lived two doors down. We were neighbours.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, and Neil was an ex-star at the time, weren't you, Neil? As in... So we were neighbours. Now, here's what happened. We lived in a street in Hampton, and there was another very famous tennis player. Frank Sedgman lived there as well. So and there were about a million tennis courts in that street, weren't there?
Yes.
Which we didn't have one, everyone else did.
Yeah.
So I knew Mr. Fraser from a couple of doors down.
Good.
Now, years later, This is where it gets interesting, Neil. And I'd like a please explain from you. Could I call myself a journalist?
Journalistic background.
I became a cadet reporter with Channel 10. I started in the sports department. And one of the first jobs they did was they sent me to the tennis.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know much about anything at the time. I was very new. Neil, you were Davis Cup captain.
Yep.
And you just won, the first match had been won by Australia, and that you were doing your press conference. And I said to you, in front of the whole press gallery, well, Neil, you must be thrilled. It was a bit of a dumb question. You must be thrilled that you've started with a win.
Yeah.
And you said to me, well, what do you reckon?
How do you reckon?
And the whole press gallery started laughing at me, and I was horrified.
But when was it? The first match of the year, or was it?
No, it was the first match of the rubber. So you were
the
playing
tie.
The tie.
Things off to a good start was your question.
Right, that's it. Yeah. So, but I was trying to get. Oh, well, we're so relieved. I just was trying to get emotion, but obviously it was
nothing.
It was a stupid question, and you gave me nothing, because I think you looked at me and thought, who's this bloody idiot, which you had a fair reason to do.
Your neighbour.
I don't think you recognised me. Well, we were neighbours. I was sort of a young girl. And So, Neil, was that fair of you or me?
Well, knowing this, don't know the circumstance you're talking about, and
was that Keong?
Yes. Any idea of the years?
Was it a dumb question?
Well, I don't know. Get any idea of the years?
It would have been 25 years ago. So what's that?
Around about 89, 90.
Oh, yeah.
Were Australia playing Sweden?
Possibly. Yeah. Here's me not remembering the actual incident. All I remember is we'd won the first. Yep. Rubber of the tie, which was a good thing.
Yep, we had to win 3 out of 5.
Yes, right. And I just wanted from you, we're off to a great start.
A little bit of that. And he backhanded you down the line.
You backhanded me down the line. Everyone laughed at me.
Did it? I'm sorry about that.
Right,
but I didn't want to get
your apology.
I didn't want to get too carried away with winning the first match. It's like playing a 5-sets match and you win the first set.
That's right.
You're happy that you won, but. Don't get carried away. You've got the job in front of you still to do.
Yes, well, I was a bit psychologically damaged, but you'll be pleased to know, Neil, I've come good.
Listen, you've got your apology, Bridge. I reckon you dragged them in here. Neil, I think there's a generation of us that do long for the glory days, and we all know why, and the pool is bigger. Sometimes I think we're punching above our weight in sports right across the board. I just think that sometimes wasted talent, shouldn't mention a name because I've never played tennis, but Sam Stosur always seems to disappoint me. What's her problem, do you think? She's a Grand Slam winner. Why can't she just get over the line sometimes? What's your opinion, Neil?
Well, she has done good for us at winning a Grand Slam. Yeah. I think we are very thin on the ground in women's tennis in winning a Grand Slam.
Should have won two. I mean, she should have had the French, too.
At least won one.
Yep.
And a lot of countries haven't won one.
That's right.
She's no doubt very talented, great athlete, a good build for tennis player, moves well in that. But I don't know whether she reads the game well enough or what it is. I know she hits the tennis ball as well as any other player, but I don't know whether she really knows how to play tennis.
Because you need it's a mind, isn't it? It's a brain. Yeah. You've got to have a tennis brain.
But she's had great success, and I mean...
We're hard on people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to have more Sam Stosurs playing for us.
Neil, what about the men? We're in pretty good shape, I think, as far as talent goes in the men at the moment. Now, of course, Nick Kyrgios is causing a few problems, a few controversies along the way. You saw him last night. What's your feeling on him?
Well, I'm going to see a lot of him in the next few years. Hopefully he'll grow up.
Yep.
He's just a young lad.
Is he young at 20?
He is young at 20. I think he's got a ways to go. But he'll thrill me 80% of the time.
Yeah. He's very talented, isn't he?
And there's probably 20% of the time he'll disappoint me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in his actions, but maybe in his deeds and things like that. But he is very talented. Yeah. There's no other player in the tournament, I think, as talented as he.
Really?
And when he learns to use that talent to the best of his advantage, he we'll see the real Nick Kyrgios. Unfortunately, he wants to be more of an entertainer at this stage and talk to his mates and umpires and all that
he
sort of
thing. He could have joined a circus had he wanted to be an entertainer. If he wanted to do tennis, it's best he plays tennis.
Well, I haven't said that to him, but that's not a bad summation.
Let his tennis do the talking, in other words. Neil, can you hang with us for a little longer?
Yes,
it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Isn't Neil Fraser, we can use the word legend quite freely.
Freely,
Around this
I mean, Neil
bloke.
was and is a champion.
Absolutely. Neil Fraser is our special guest here on The Weekend Break.
Live from the 2016 Australian Open, The Weekend Break on 3AW 693.
We are at the Australian Open. It is a packed house. People are all over the place here at Garden Square. Sun's shining, a perfect temperature. And what a privilege it is for Bridget Duclos, who's deputising so bravely for Dee Dee today. How are you bearing up so far?
I'm loving every second of it. Yeah. In fact, you'll struggle to get rid of me. I might sleep the night here and just try and stay
for tomorrow. Just quietly turn up again.
I'm thinking more just not leaving.
That's right.
You're here again
she
tomorrow.
She doesn't left. Oh, Bridget's here. Let's put her on air. And we're very privileged to have tennis legend Neil Fraser with us at the moment. What's your role now, Neil?
I'm a tennis ambassador for Tennis Australia.
Yeah.
And I come in here during the year, 2 or 3 days a week.
Yep.
And help out any little problems. No one's any older than me around the place, so remembering these things of the 50s or anything after the war from 1946 on, they come to me. Any little problems that they can't have a person to go and represent the association somewhere at a function or that, I might be asked to do.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the connection and being with Tennis Australia.
Of course.
Can I ask you, Neil, because I have this argument with a lot of people. It's a friendly argument, but I think I'm right. Is Roger Federer the best player of the modern era? I will say that.
Yeah.
Because I fight often with my partner Sam about he thinks Nadal has more talent, as in flair. I think Roger Federer is the most beautifully gifted player I've ever seen. Where do you place him?
The modern era, you said. Do you include Rose Walden in the modern era and Will Hode and that?
We can't. We can't include obviously Rod Laver.
I reckon. Okay, let's go from 19. Yeah, from your era, from the golden Australian era.
Federer is probably the most sought-after player by anyone to watch. Mm. He's very appealing, and when he's on his day, he's as good as anyone in the world, and as good as anyone's produced. But getting into competition and winning a tournaments, you know, sometimes he has some hiccups. But his record stands for itself. Yeah. I mean, I read in the paper this morning, 300th win in a Grand Slam event.
Yeah.
Well, that means...
That's not beaten, yeah.
Yeah, that's four Grand Slams. That's 75 wins each Grand Slam. And that's... you can only... In the singles, to win it, you win 7 matches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's won...
It's extraordinary record.
It is an incredible...
And his fluidity, the way he just... Beautiful. I've never seen anything like it when he's on song. Yeah.
I do think he's got more talent than Nadal.
Do you? Yeah, yes, good. I'll tell my partner that. I've won that argument. Neil Fraser said so.
Yeah, well, I'm with Neil a bit on that. I mean, Nadal has been a fantastic player. Can Federer win another Grand Slam?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Everybody's said the same.
Because we're just... we're looking for that, aren't we?
We are. Everyone is. And I hope he continues to try because he gives so much pleasure. I watched him yesterday, Dimitrov. And I mean, it was just fantastic to see them hit the ball so sweetly, so hard, so often, and run like scalded cats around the court.
Yeah.
It's just the brand of tennis they play is a little different to the brand of tennis that I play.
Yeah.
Different era. What made the... Because it really is a very different game, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the rackets have got a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You had a wooden racket.
Wooden racket, smaller head.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hit the ball as hard as they players hit it today because the wood had broke.
Yeah.
But also the stringing of the rackets, we used to use gut.
Yep.
And now they use synthetic nylon, which has some more elasticity in it or that. I don't know the exact way, but they can put more spin on the ball than we used to be able to. But it's mainly the rackets that have made the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, the courts are still the same size, the net's still the same height.
Yeah.
Balls are still the same, except they're a different colour.
Yep.
We used to use white.
Yeah.
And now
yellow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. None of that white ball.
That's right.
And we didn't have tie breaks.
Every set was an advantage.
Every set.
What's the longest match you ever played?
I had a 22-20 at Wimbledon. One set.
22-20.
The concentration that must have taken, Neil.
So how many hours was that, Neil? What did that end up
at? I can't remember. It was it made for a very long match. But
that's why
I think
changed.
I finished up winning it. So.
Yeah, that's all right. Good memory
it's
in that case.
Far more pleasurable when you've won it.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt a bit. Tell us, Neil, taking yourself out of the equation, when you think about great tennis matches, the one that stands out in your mind is the one that you really loved watching as a spectator.
Oh, well, Lou Hode.
Yeah.
Was my I came up as a junior with him, and I couldn't cease to be admire him all the time, the way he played. He had a style about him in those days that he could cover the court well. He had a good build, good-looking fella, and play serve and volley, or he could stay in the baseline. And not only that, he was the type of fella that if you asked him for a favour, he'd do it for you all the time.
How fit were you, Neil, compared to these guys? Like, obviously, you know, it's changed once
again.
Diet,
exercise, waist,
I mean,
that.
You know, you think of Malcolm Blight having a cigarette at half time when he used to play in footy. What was it like that?
No such thing like that in tennis, because we played mainly on grass, which was an advantage. But we played best of five sets and advantage sets in every set.
So you had to be pretty fit.
Yes. No seats to sit down on at the change of ends.
Oh,
you had to get a drink at the... And no, what do they have, 2 minutes or something in between change of ends? We just got a drink and you had to walk down the other end. The conditions were pretty tough.
Very tough.
And I think that we were as fit as athletes because I never missed a tournament through injury, save and except the odd tournament that I really didn't want to play in.
And,
but did you do weights and strength work and all that sort of stuff back then?
Not so, yes, we used to go to the gym, Frank Finley's Gymnasium in the city, and I used to go in there with Stan Nichols, and we would do gym trials, but not so much weights. It was more flexibility, double knee jumps, jumping, back stretches, pulling pulleys from the wall and that, but not too much building up the muscles.
Yeah. Don Bradman said he got his fitness through running between wickets. And it's it's a little bit like you guys. Yes, I mean, you were natural players, weren't you?
We did a lot of running. Hopman was keen on us running, and we would go for probably 2 or 3 mile run. Not before we played or anything, but in leading up to Davis Cups and things like that.
Yeah.
But I had great. I was lucky to come up in a great era of players.
Yes.
I mean, my first trip overseas, there was the team of who had just won the Davis Cup: Lou Hoden, Ken Rosewall, Mervyn Rose, and Rex Hartwig.
Yeah.
Great team. The association decided to send three juniors away with that team in 1954, and I was lucky enough to be one of those juniors they picked.
Yeah.
Along with Roy Emerson and Ashley Cooper.
Yeah.
Those three juniors all went and won Wimbledon.
Gosh.
And we're travelling with Hoden, Rosewall, Hartwig and
was
Rose
a golden era.
For 5 or 6 months around the world.
When you were playing in those days, did you represent yourself or did you represent the country? I mean, Davis Cup aside, were you always,
it's always
very proud Australians when you...
Oh, definitely. You're introduced always, Neil, from Australia.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
And did you make good friends with the other players, the internationals?
Yeah,
like the Americans?
Yes. Barry McKay, Alex Almeida, Ham Richardson, and I'm sure Frank Sedgman and Ken McGregor made great friends of Vic Satius and Tony Trabert, Bill Talbot.
Yeah.
So we were lucky in the era we were in because, as I said, we're in a small pond. And, but we travel. I mean, the players go away now for 2 or 3 weeks and they come home again.
Yeah.
We went away for five
for
months.
Yeah.
Months.
And did your families travel with you at the time? No.
Because you were all pretty young, too. I mean, we talk about Kyrgios being a young 20-year-old, but I mean, Rosewall and Hode were 18 when they won Wimbledon.
That's right.
Davis Cup, weren't they?
And
away from home.
But you see players stay with their wives, their children, the whole bit. That just didn't happen. So it must have been very tough.
We were not allowed there. Frank wasn't allowed Well, none of us were married.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, we couldn't afford to get married because there was no money in the game.
Yeah.
Mm. And we were all amateurs. You had to rely on your initiative and the sporting goods company that would provide you with the equipment to do a bit of work for them to pay you a few bob.
Yeah. Really? When did the money become?
1968.
Yeah, 68.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it's fascinating. I could talk to you all day, Neil.
Can we talk? Can we continue with Neil?
Well, I don't know.
Neil, would you mind? Give us another few minutes.
I'm only going home to see my wife, and she'll tell me how good the interview is. That's all.
Well, let's give her some
more joy. I'm glad she's an AW listener.
We'll give her some more joy.
Mrs. Fraser, he's going along beautifully, and we're going to keep him for a little while longer here at the Weekend Break.
The Weekend Break, live from the 2016 Australian Open on 3AW 693. A 3AW Summer of Tennis Updates. For Apia, because your experience deserves more.
Shane McGuinness, the very latest from the tennis, if you wouldn't mind.
Let's
speaking
go.
To a legend here, of course, Neil Fraser, listening in to you, mate. So,
I'll make sure I'm at my best and been very impressed by the interview. Very enjoyable. Guys, let's just go around the precinct very quickly so you can continue the interview. Stan Wawrinka through to the fourth round. He's defeated Lucas Rosl of the Czech Republic 6-2, 6-3, 7-6. He'll next come up against Milos Raonic of Canada, who defeated Viktor Troicki 6-2, 6-3, 6-4. That's going to be a wonderful match in the round of 16. Wawrinka up against Raonic, two of the biggest servers in the game. Power game is what that will be. Good game on High Sense Arena at the moment. Gael Monfils up against Stéphane Robert of France. 5-5 in the first set. This one could go for a little while. Most of the matches on, in fact, all of the day session matches on Rod Laver Arena and Margaret Court Arena are completed. We look ahead to the night session. Some great matches. Anna Ivanovic up against Madison Keys in the women. Andy Murray also in action. And next hour, guys, we'll talk about the all Aussie battle. John Millman up against Bernard Tomic. Back to you.
Your best mate, Bernard Tomic. You've been pushing him for years.
I have been.
Shane McGuinness. Is he coming good for you now?
Well,
into the second week?
I watched Nick last night, and I honestly think that Bernard's matured more than Nick has. And he's gone under the...
I agree, Shane. I think Nick's taken the heat off him, and he's playing his game. In fact,
absolutely.
I'm fascinated to know what Neil has to say about that. Shane, thank you.
Thank you, Shane McGuinness. Neil Fraser is our special guest today, tennis legend. So many doubles titles for that swinging left hand. It must have driven people mad. You're playing alongside Emerson Cooper in the doubles, winning all those Grand Slam doubles titles.
The secret of winning doubles is to have a good partner. That's
the
most
important. That's what your mates told me.
And have a right hand and a left hander.
Yeah.
Yes,
that goes all right.
But on Bernard Tomic, what do you think? I would like, this is funny, I would really like to see him go the next step too.
Yeah, well, he's going to mature. He's still maturing. Mm. What is he, 22? I've seen 23, but he's still got a couple of years away from him. I saw him play the other night, and I was disappointed at the way he played. I think he was serving for the match.
Mm.
And, you know, it looked like he was just easing, cruising around, and then suddenly he loses his serve, and he loses the third set. And he gets into a real battle in the fourth set.
Yeah.
So he doesn't close out.
Yeah.
He doesn't impress himself on his opponent. He's a beautiful build of a guy, great serve, but he doesn't impose himself. He just sits, serves and stays back. He ought to attack occasionally, let the opponent know that, he might come into the net. I've got to play a better return, and you force errors that way.
Yeah.
But he seems to drift around the court, and at times I think he's matured completely, but I think we've still got a little time for him to mature completely.
Yeah. Mm. Well, let's hope he does. Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios. I mean, it'll be a long time coming. We'd love to see another Australian win a Wimbledon, a US Open. Win here, for goodness sake. It's been 1976. Leighton Hewitt's retirement. He's been terrific for Australia, hasn't he?
Oh, very good. I mean, it's hard to imagine that this court right here is where he played his first match against Sergei Bruguera.
Yep. Age 16.
He's been a fantastic ornament to the world tennis.
Yeah.
Not only that, but in particular in Australia. Unfortunately, he didn't have a lot of support throughout those 20 years.
What do you put that down to, Neil? Because it was quite controversial. We all had this world champion that we all thrive in, yet Australia
put my hand up as one of the baddies. I just never grabbed me as somebody I wanted to support.
What do you think, Neil?
Well, they didn't. There was Rafter around. There was Philippoussis around and Hewitt around. They didn't sort of... the Woodies are around. Yeah. Still, they didn't seem to come together at the right time. One was in full bloom at some stage. The other one was down in the doldrums sort of business. And I don't know whether they were all the best of friends as we used to be, helping each other out a bit more, because coaches have come into the game and entourages and that, yes. And, you know, I'm with this group. And
Because with you guys, it seemed to us, as spectators and as kids growing up watching you, aside from the Davis Cup, the Aussie blokes seemed to be a real team, whether you were playing Davis Cup or not. Would that be right?
Very true. Yeah. Yes. I mean, they're all great friends still.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be entertaining a few of them this week, next week.
What have you got on this week?
Oh, a little function where... Rosewall or Sedgman, Cooper, Stolly.
Yeah.
These guys will come home and we'll have a bit of a barbecue.
Terrific. Oh, how lovely.
That's great to hear.
Just quickly, Neil, do you like the new technology? It's not so new now, but I love watching the ball, whether it's in or out. That is really... it's changed the game for me because I just love knowing whether...
I wish it was around in my time because it would have been very helpful. And then I wish it was around when Macaro's time because it would have cut out a lot of arguments. And I'm very pleased the way the players readily accept the decision that is made.
Yeah.
And, of course, and also I'm pleasantly surprised how accurate the umpires are and how inaccurate the players are at times because they think the ball's in.
Yeah.
Although subconsciously when you play a shot, you think that you've played it to the extent that it might be going out. You have that instinct in your own game. But I guess when you get three chances to query whether the ball's in or out, it's no penalty.
Yeah.
You might as well use those chances. But it's been a great thing for tennis to have that.
I love it,
And the public love it.
I love watching it. Yeah, it's great seeing.
Do you reckon tennis is a TV game or a spectator? I mean, there's plenty of people here at the Australian Open today, but... when you're relaxing on your couch with a big screen TV, it's a great TV game, isn't it? Or do you reckon there's nothing like being there?
Oh, there's nothing like being there. Hmm. But as you get a little older, it's better to be on the TV set on the couch. But I think all Australians love all sport.
Yeah.
I mean, our AFL football's a pretty good
We're mad for it, aren't
TV
we?
TV sport.
We love it.
Yes, I think Melburnians even more so than the rest of Australians too. I think Melburnians
rest
are just...
the world.
Yeah.
Well, I think we are the sports capital of Australia, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some people say we're the sports capital of the world.
Yep. But,
and Australian Open, Melbourne forever?
Oh, yes. Well, where could it go?
Sydney put their hand up from time to time. We just laugh them out of the park, don't we?
Well, it wouldn't even... get to mention. I don't think they'd even sit down to discuss it.
Well said, Neil Fraser. Terrific for you to come along and join us today.
Was there something you wanted to mention as far as your...
I was just saying, I'm president of the Davis Cup Tennis Foundation, which we've been going for a number of years, and we raise money for Tennis Australia to invest in sport. We've given them nearly $2 million.
Mm.
And but we run a... now I've started this idea of a commemorative luncheon recognising past Davis Cup results and winners.
Right.
We did the 53 team, and we did the 55 team, we did the 59 team. This weekend, on Friday, we're recognising the team that won the 1960, 61 and 62 Davis Cups because we were the same group in that team.
Yeah.
And we've got 300 odd people coming to our luncheon up at the Pullman here. On Friday.
Yep.
And it's not just our Davis Cup members. Anyone can be a member of our foundation. Only costs them $70 to
and
be a member.
Money. Yep. Yeah, that's
and,
great.
And then we give money to Tennis Australia and they feed it into their junior programs.
That's great. Terrific, Neil. And so glad to hear of your involvement so glad to hear of your involvement with all your mates from that wonderful era that we remember so well.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I'm involved for many years to come. I'm all right from the neck up.
Going all right.
You look pretty good to me, I'll tell you.
You're going all right. You're going all right.
Anyway, thanks very much.
Neil Fraser.
Thanks, Neil.
Pleasure to meet you. Let's take a break.